This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi everyone, this is Paul Simpson, manager at Carlisle United, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast.
My name is Jamie Devitt.
My name is Maddie Robson.
My name is Chris Miller.
My name is Paul Anderson.
My name is Mark Boyd.
Hello. My name is Derek Combs.
My name's Toby Show Silva.
My name's Greg Abbott, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast. Enjoy.
Hello, I can see you, Wills.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
All right, Jamie, mate. All right, how's it going? Good stuff.
How are we?
We can all hear each other. We can all see each other. I just wanted to verify that at the start. I'll properly introduce you all to each other in just a few seconds, obviously. Jamie, people probably guessed it straight away as soon as you said, you're all right, that you're coming back. We've had 3 episodes with you. It's been an absolute pleasure. I just want to thank you for coming back. And it's good. You're the first, what would you call it? A quadruple crowner, I guess. I really appreciate your time.
No, I've loved it.
It's been great, mate. It's been great. And I'll properly introduce you to the lads. But first, mate, you're here for all the bells and whistles this time. You've got all the gimmicks. You're going to have all the songs and all the jingles. Strap yourself in. It's time for a ride. Oh. It's Barrett. How's it going? And welcome back to the Blue Army Podcast. This is, of course, episode 135. And I am absolutely buzzing to be joined by the 3 men that I love to call the Cumbrian Brain Trust. That's right. I'm talking about Wills, Liam and Max. Welcome back, lads. How are you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, brilliant,
mate.
Surviving.
I can tell you've got a bit more excitement in your voice than normal because there's someone else joining us on the podcast today. And let me introduce you all formally to the man who, when he signed for Barrow, had no idea what part of the country it was in and still had a Carlisle United shirt on his Facebook. It is Jamie Devitt's back for part 4. Well, Jamie Devitt's back. He's here for the ride. Thanks for joining us, Jamie.
No problem, mate.
Max and Wills. Welcome, man. Welcome.
All good.
Right. You're here for the proper show this time, Jamie, mate. And we've got traditions around here on the Blue Army Podcast at the start of the show, which means we kick things off with a good laugh and a good time, basically, which can mean it's only time for one thing and one thing only. It's time for the Blue Army Podcast Joke of the Week.
I'm a bit nervous for this.
We talked him out of doing some jokes.
We'll see. You might have to stop us. What is a reverse exorcism? No, I'm joking. I'm not.
And now everyone's going to go and Google that. And
no, it's fine. It's okay. We can edit this bit out. Basically, I thought it'd be good to have a laugh anyway with Jamie. We can edit this bit out. It's fine. I had a joke that I thought would be quite funny, and like I was, it was a bit risky, and I wasn't sure if we could probably do it on the podcast.
A bit risky.
Yeah. So we're not going to do it on the podcast. I'll edit around the sort of punchline and stuff, but it might be fun just to get everyone's reactions to the joke, basically. I'm going to tell it, and we'll see how it goes. Then I'll do the proper joke.
I already know the punchline now, so you don't know it.
I'm pretty sure. So, Jamie, this one's for you, mate. What is a reverse exorcism?
Having a clue.
This content has been removed.
Oh, Jesus.
You can see why we told him that it wasn't really a podcast joke.
This is the joke I couldn't tell.
I don't think you can use that one, Lee.
No, we're not using it. It's fine. It's fine. But what we are using is the Blue Army podcast joke of the week. And the joke of the week this week is, what is the scariest plant in the forest? Bamboo!
Oh, genie.
Oh, my God. That was about as good as one of Toby Shaw Silver's jokes, wasn't it?
It was good delivery, that one. It had a bit of...
It was worth it. It was good. But, lads, you know, that's a great way to kick off the show. We like having a laugh. But, you know, we've got a footballer here joining us, so we've got to make Jamie feel comfortable. And what we did the last couple of times is, you know, we gave him a warm-up, basically. And a lot of them are sort of like, yes, no questions. But I threw in a couple of quick-fire questions into the mix as well to make it a little bit more interesting. But it's a warm-up, lads. And, you know, we'll see some thumbs up and thumbs down from you on the chat, obviously, if you disagree or agree with Jamie's opinions. And I might come to you, and we might get a bit of conflict. So let's see how this goes. Jamie, are you ready, mate?
Go on.
Here we go. Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve?
Christmas Eve.
Everyone agreeing?
Yeah.
Depends what you're doing on New Year's Eve. I've had some good
New Year's Eve for me.
Nah, see, we always have a game New Year's Day, so we can't do anything New Year's Eve. Probably most of the time you're in a hotel.
Yeah, I guess it's a different perspective.
Well, that's why we got you along, mate. That's why we got you along. The next one's maybe not as controversial. It's Costa's or Nero's.
Costa for me.
Costa,
I'm in there every day, I think.
I'd say Costa's fair. I like a Costa.
I don't think I've ever set foot in a Nero's.
But we've only got that one in Carlisle that's like inside
House of Fraser.
So it's like I don't like them kind of cafes where you're in the shop.
To be fair, that's where we sometimes, if Costa was too busy last year, that's where we'd all go sometimes. Cafe Nero.
It's a good place to sit when your missus is shopping.
Well, that's it. That's what I like it for. It's a good place to sit when your missus is shopping. Yeah, it's a good one for that Nero's. But I would say Costa does the better sort of like slushies and summer drinks and stuff. I reckon that's where it really does beat it. That's where the real money's at in Costa for me. Yeah. I can probably tell basically on your Zoom handle, Android or iPhone.
iPhone for me, yeah.
We got McDonald's or Burger King.
Oh, McDonald's. Burger King's probably the worst one for me.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's controversial. Yeah, it has to be.
The jalapeno bites at Burger King or something else.
I know, but you can get them at McDonald's as well. The spicy cheese bites.
The chili ones as well.
But even saying that, I think Burger King's probably still nicer.
Oh, not for me. Not for me.
just because, purely because you get more, I think.
I don't know.
Burger King personally.
You need to take a mortgage out for a Burger King.
Yeah, it's expensive.
True.
That's it. What world record attempt would you like to attempt?
Oh, tough one. What world record?
Is the one you think you could do like most amount of something, like keepy ups?
Most amount of Maltesers or something like that. Something to do with chocolate or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be a good one to attempt. That'd be fun. Yeah. That'd be a good one to attempt.
You'd enjoy it as well.
Is a controversial one for you. Did the moon landing happen? Yes or no?
I've never even thought of it.
You want to say you've never heard of it?
It happened then. It happened then.
Never thought of it.
I mean, it's probably not worth getting into. What makes you angry?
Makes me angry?
Yeah. What really grinds your gears?
Losing.
Losing? Is that anything? Just or is that just football? Monopoly?
I'd probably say just football, but missus and kids would probably say everything.
It's a bad loser. And we've got to end on a good one. So it's what makes you happy?
Winning.
Yeah.
winning on family time. That's it.
Yeah. It made the most sense to do that sort of like, you know, reversey thing at the end. Yeah. So thanks very much. I feel like you're all warmed up, mate. And at this point, you know, we may as well have a catch up. The last time you were on the Blue Army podcast, we left things very much in the open air, you know. We wasn't sure what was next for Jamie Devitt. And obviously a lot of things have happened since then. You've signed for the Workington Reds. You've been involved in a couple of league fixtures as well. You're getting amongst it. But before we dive into all that, I want to take you right back to the last time, basically. He's got a Workington Red scarf on, look, Liam.
That's the one.
Oh. Yeah.
Workington Red scarf. Unbelievable. But yeah, I want to take you right the way back to basically before you signed for Workington. Like Jim Bentley, we spoke about him being one of your better managers in the past. You really enjoyed working underneath him. He's at the same level, I believe, as Workington.
No, they're a league above.
They're a league above.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there any sort of like interest there? Was there any conversations with your old pal there, or was it Workington all the way?
I got him a text when he got the job, just wishing him all the best because of obviously the relationship we have. And he just sort of asked what my plans were, really. And I told him what was happening, and that was it, really. We didn't go into anything. I told him that I was going to be signing with Danny. My mind was made up already to do with Danny. I'd agreed with Danny, and I wasn't ever going to go back with her. So it wasn't really that conversation to be had, really. It was just a friendship conversation, really.
Yeah, so that was a while ago, obviously, even before. So, like, when was the first conversation sort of had with Workington?
Month ago, really.
Yeah.
It's with Danny, isn't it? So I speak to Danny quite regularly all the time, and he mentioned it so many times. And then it got to a stage where I'd sort of agreed it, but I didn't want to sign for them until I was basically able to play, or not far off playing, really, because I wouldn't have been fair of signing before I could play. So I think I'd done about 2 or 3 weeks with them training and stuff like that before I actually signed, so I could be ready, really. And yeah, I'm loving it.
Well, that was something else I wanted to ask you about, your recovery. Obviously, you mentioned the last time you were here that you were going along to Cali United a couple of times a week. How did that develop and how did you finish your recovery? I think I saw on your Instagram that you're actually going out and going to like independent physiotherapists as well.
Yeah, so the fella I see down, he lives near me, to be fair, but he was at Morecambe when I was there. Garrett is his name. He was, a lot of clubs use him, to be fair, because he's got all the machines that you can do. You test your strength and stuff on. So it's like when you're coming to the end of your rehab, a lot of clubs send the players to Garrett just to make sure that they're where they should be, really, with the strength. And he's been a massive, massive help as well. So that's, I can only thank him.
Yeah, that's what Neil Dalton's doing now, isn't it? I don't know if you go to him.
Neil's, I think he's only starting to get all them machines in, though. I don't think he has all them.
No.
He is doing all this, that sort of stuff, but he hasn't got the actual testing machines just yet, I don't think.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that's what Gaz does. I've known Gaz for, geez, it must be 10 years now I've known Gaz. So there's a lot of players that go and see him, so he's very, very good at what he does. So it was just sort of ticking a box, really, to show I had all my strength back and just little stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you got your full fitness sorted out, and you've signed for a team. You can vouch for me. I did hint at signing for Carlisle City a few times. Like, you can at least in case there's people out there listening that were like, "No, you're not." And I was like, "No, I've mentioned it to him. He blanks it, but I've mentioned it to him."
It was because I'd already signed. I'd already agreed everything with Walkington, and Danny being one of my closest friends, there was no chance I was going to go back on what I'd agreed, really.
So now, basically, you signed with Workington, you're a fully fit man. You're getting involved week in, week out with the first team and training and playing. I mean, how's it going and what are the sort of expectations, basically, for the next season ahead at Workington Reds?
We take every game as it comes. It's really tough as the part-time because a lot of lads have a full-time job as well, which it's different for me as it is different to Danny. We all we know is football, and we've done football full time for the last 15, 16 years. So it was sort of tough adjusting to that, where I'm training on a Tuesday and Thursday night instead of Monday to Friday, really. So you get into training, and some lads are coming straight from the job. So it is different in that respect, and it is a little bit different, but I'm loving it. And as you say, ambitions, see where it goes. They literally only got promoted this year, so we're just literally taking it game by game, and things change so quickly in the league. Everyone beats everyone. So if we can get a bit of consistency going, it'll be really good, because Danny's found it tough we've found it tough lately, because we lost Goose. Obviously, he's been at the club for a long, long time, and he's had to retire through injury, and that's a massive, massive hole left, really. And we've struggled to fill that gap lately, like. So we've signed a defender last week, and he made a massive difference on Saturday. So hopefully we can keep a settled back line now, which we haven't had in a long time. I think we were only talking, there's been 10 or 12 different centre-back pairings already. We've only played about 15, 16 games. So
yeah.
It's really tough when you think of it like that. So if we can just keep a bit of consistency now, I think we'll just see how it goes. We have our own expectations, as you do, but we just go game by game at the minute.
Yeah, it's a challenging level of football, but it sounds like you're very much excited by it, and you're looking forward to more of it. Now, obviously, Jamie, I had the opportunity to speak to you for 3 episodes and ask you all the questions I could really think of. But the 3 lads that are also joining us on the call are huge Carlisle United fans, and also fans of yourself and your trade. So they've got some questions, basically. Everyone's sort of like got a few questions that they want to ask you. So I'll just...
No problem.
I'll open the floor out to whoever wants to go first, I guess.
No problem.
I'll jump in. First of all, thanks, Jamie, for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Mate, anytime, honestly, I love coming on.
Nice one. So you mentioned Danny there. So what's it actually like playing under a former teammate and a friend? Like, what's that relationship like? Because it must be quite different to, like, obviously, a normal manager.
Yeah, it is really different, just for the fact that he's a mate, and he was my roomie for 3 years at Carlisle. So I sort of first went in for the first couple of weeks, and like, we'd be training, and I'd be like giving him a bit of banter and calling him fathead and stuff like that. And I'd be like, the lads would be looking at me going, that's the manager, that. And then I've had to sort of calm it down a little bit and sort of thing. But it's hard, because we're just really close friends, really. But I think I said it in an interview a couple of weeks ago, Danny's going to be a really, really good manager. I think he's going to work at levels above. His little details that he gives us is brilliant. The work he puts into it for a part-time club. And that was, honestly, I think he works 7 days a week for a part-time job with the information that he gives us. But it's just about helping him, really. Sometimes I've gone and watched some players from down this way that we've tried to get in on loan or whatever. So we just have a really good relationship, to be honest.
Sort of. Wish you all the best for the season.
No, cheers, mate. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sort of linking on from that, about when you say Danny Granger could work at a higher level. What about sort of the players there? Because I know there's a lot of sort of exciting young players that are working at the minute. Do you think there's any of them that could possibly go on and play at, like,
say that again. Sorry, mate. I broke up right at the end.
Is there any of these sort of younger players at work and they could go and play at a higher level, like a Carlo?
Well, mate, honestly, I've been so surprised with the standards at the level, really. I don't think I spoke to Nicky Adams and Luke Joyce about when I first signed, because obviously they're in the same league, and they were like, you'll be very surprised. What it is there's a lot of lads that have a really good job, and they can't take the chance of going into first team football, because it might not work and they lose out on their job and stuff like that. So there is sort of players that get lost, really, just because of clubs' opinions, basically. Football, as we always say, is just a game of opinions, and one person can love you, the next person can hate you, basically. But talking about the young lads, I think there's 2 or 3 really, really good young lads that we've already mentioned a few of them to sort of to keep an eye on, basically, to the staff and stuff like that. So I won't give names or anything out like that because it wouldn't be fair, but there is some exciting players, yeah, definitely.
I don't want people coming in and stealing them.
Definitely not, no. Definitely not.
I was going to ask you about players you've played with, but you mentioned that Nicky Adams and Luke Joyce are in the same division as Workington. Have you come up against either of them yet?
No, they played a couple of weeks just before I signed at Workington.
Yeah.
And then I see Luke a lot, really, because my little lad trains with his academy and stuff like that, so we see each other really regularly. Nicky, not as much, just for the fact that he's doing some coaching at Oldham, so it's difficult, yeah, really, to meet up, but I still speak. We speak on the phone all the time. That group of lads we had back when Keith Crow was manager, we still all keep in touch. And I played against Jason Kennedy a couple of weeks ago, which was was good to catch up with as well. It was like two stiff men in midfield.
What a player he was back in the day.
The much JK, like banter and needle when you come against those players.
We just had a bit of a laugh, really. We were both saying how stiff we were, really. seeing who was the stiffest, basically. it was good, to be fair. We had a bit of a laugh as well.
So I noticed on your Instagram account, it said that you were taking on like player coach role at Workington. Is coaching like what you see yourself doing in the future?
Yeah, a little bit. I've gone into I've started with an agency now, so I'm in the process of becoming an agent. Going on the dark side of football, basically. That's what they call it. But I'm just trying to keep in with as much as I can, really, in football, because I love being involved in it. And coaching is a side of it that I really enjoy. So I am in the process of doing the badges as well. So I'm just keeping open options, basically, at the minute and seeing what happens.
It's going to be interesting to go and work as an agent. What would you tell a young player at a club like Carlisle if they were getting interest from a division higher and stuff? Do you tell them?
It depends on
money. Try and get try and see if you can go even higher than that.
I think you do what the player wants, basically. All you can give is your opinion. Your opinion on what will be best for their career.
And
there's a lot of agents out there that just want them to move on and basically just try to get a payday out of it, really, and it's wrong for the player. It's not. I've only been in it about a month now, and some of the things I've seen already, it's not nice. Like, and I want to be one of them. I'm sure there's a lot of people that say you want to be one of the good ones that you can sort of become a friend to your client, basically, and give them really good advice and try to help them.
Did you have a decent agent yourself, or maybe still do?
Yeah, growing up, I had someone that took me from Dublin, basically, and it's him that I'm working under at the minute. So we've kept in touch for the last 15 years, basically. So it's someone I trust, and he obviously knows or thinks that I have a good upbringing in football, and I can spot some talent as well. So we're just going to see how it goes for the next year, basically, and hopefully I can build it up.
It sounds like you're giving a go to a bit of everything. Yeah, you've done a bit of scouting, bit of coaching, obviously a bit of agency work, and you're still playing. So, you know, there's not a lot more you can do.
Carlisle need a kit, man.
Has anyone got any more questions? Sorry.
I'll think of some along the way, I'm sure.
I was going to ask before I got distracted by the thought of Luke Joyce. when you were playing, you know, the height of your career, you went several seasons being one of the top assisters in the divisions you were playing at. Who was the best, or, you know, who was your favourite goal scorer to play alongside?
Oh, probably Sean Miller.
Oh, yeah.
When we were at Morecambe together, I think Sean scored.
Of course, it was Morecambe as well, yeah.
Yeah, we sort of were at Morecambe together, and then Pete signed the two of us at Carlisle because of sort of what we'd done at Morecambe that year. I think Sean scored 16, 17 goals that year, and I think I set up 14 or 15 of them. We just had sort of, you get it sort of in your career where you just link up with someone, basically, and sort of just feed off them. Yeah. And that sort of seemed what it was like with me and Sean. And we just had, we had an unbelievable season together, really. I think I scored nearly 10 goals that season. He scored 16, 17. And I think I had about 20 assists that season. And most of them were for Sean.
Yeah, it was a big statement signing that, wasn't it? A double signing for Carlisle. So like two of the players who'd linked up to score so many goals the previous season.
Yeah, I think we never really got going together again, me and Sean. Basically, I blame Charlie White on it, really, for doing so well. Because of how good Charlie was, yeah. We could never sort of get a run together. And Nicky was setting up Charlie every week, so they sort of had that bond that me and Sean had the year before. And sometimes that just happens in football, so these things happen.
Thanks very much, lads. Jamie, you can sit back and relax for a little bit into with more of a pundit role, basically, as we're going to allow some of the lads to take over with a couple of their own segments. We're going to kick things off with the part of the show where we get to find out what's been happening here and what's been happening there in the league. One roundup with Liam and Wills. Come on, boys. What have you got for us this week?
Mario, so there's been a couple of managerial appointments in the last week. Scubala, what's his first name? Sorry, I forget. Michael Scubala, Leeds coach. He was caretaker at one point at Leeds, I think, even. Is taken over at Lincoln City, and at Oxford have appointed Des Buckingham as their head coach. I don't know much about this Des Buckingham guy, but he was a coach under Chris Wilder previously. And then he's just been in the Indian Premier League at Mumbai City, where he was the manager there. So interesting in terms of appointing a manager who's kind of just come out of India, has some experience as a coach in England, but so I'll have to see how that goes. Can't tell you much more about him. He's been to Australia and New Zealand as well. So he's a well-travelled coach.
Was Keith Curler in India just before he took over at Carlisle?
No, I don't think so.
Who am I thinking of? Maybe it was someone else. I'll edit
that
out.
One of our coaches did go over and coach in India.
Yeah.
Was it like Eric Kinder or something like that?
Yeah, Eric did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he went over to India, something like that.
And there's a guy whose name I haven't heard about for a bit. It was the head coach of Rwanda, a guy called Stephen Constantine, and he used to apply for every job in like sort of like League One, League Two. He'd been, you know, he'd done well abroad, so he kind of like really wanted that to translate to something in this country, but he never got a chance. But yeah, this Dean Buckingham has a chance now to, you know, to see if he can make success abroad in, you know, some of these, let's say, lesser leagues, but they're kind of like lots of money, not much kind of like experience.
A different league, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not like saying he's come from somewhere like in Europe or South America where there's kind of a lot of history of the football there. It's like the Indian Premier League's fairly new. And, you know, it's a cricket country, isn't it? And then, you know, then Michael Scubala, who, you know, is a name that's been about, but this will be his first permanent job. I think he was caretaker at Leeds at one point, and he's been a coach at Leeds for a long time. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how those two appointments pan out.
Yeah, managerial news from Will. Liam, what have you got for us?
Can I just say as well, pointing out, there was no scuffle at the start of the segment like there usually is. And, you know,
No, we're on our best behaviour for Jamie.
We are, yeah.
Yeah, I felt like, yeah, like this is way too like regimented this time. It's too organised. Yeah. Like, normally there's a to me to you at the start of this segment.
It's like they've practiced it together before. Yeah.
The first no, time in like, what, a year of doing this segment, we've actually made it go. So, and I've just ruined it by mentioning it. But
just out of interest, though, just to go back to the conversation, Jamie, if you had the sort of opportunity and it was like, you know, the Saudi Arabian League, the Indian League, as like a coach or a player or something in the future, is that something that you'd be able to get your head around, or is it like, you know, is it too difficult for like a family move, or, you know, have you heard it any rumors on about money?
It all depends on the circumstances. Yeah. Like, money's probably a massive one.
I mean, Robbie Fowler's, you know, he went to the Saudi League, was there for about 6 weeks, he'd be laughing.
Yeah,
well, yeah. Top of the league, got manager in months, and then got sacked 2 days later. So I don't think something must have went on.
He's obviously fallen out with someone now, hasn't he?
Yeah. Would that not be enough to put you off them kind of stories?
Maybe
or anything?
He tried to fall out with someone, thinking like, if I can get sacked and get sent back,
I don't know. To be honest with you, it's. It all depends on how long for, stuff like that, with family and stuff like that. I honestly couldn't tell you. Till you're put in that situation, I don't think anyone, with all the, as you say, money will be a big one, because it can sort your family out for life, basically. If you're one of them big ones, you can't say no to things like that. But it'd have to be worth it, obviously, and the right place and stuff like that.
Sorry, Liam, go ahead, mate.
To be honest, there hasn't been much happening in League One, because pretty much every match has been called off because of international fixtures and stuff like that and call-ups. But one big thing that did happen is a free agent signing for Wickham, and it's Lyle Taylor. And, you know, when I looked at this player when he came in at Wickham, he's only 33, which... You know, he's getting on a bit now, but he's the kind of player that I would have liked Carlisle to.
he is a quality player, to be fair. Like, I watched him for Birmingham, and he was like one of the best players when he was there, not that long ago. So,
yeah, like, exactly. Like, he's a decent striker, still playing at a good level. And I remember looking at that and thinking, what a sign it is for Wickham, but at the same time, what a sign it would have been for Carlisle if we'd have. Looking at free agents, you know, why isn't he one that we were looking at?
Well, he might have been.
Oh, we know he was.
He might have been.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
We just don't know, do we? Well, we know who
very quickly with the injury that they had.
Well, that's another thing as well. Like, we've had problems up front a lot longer than Wickham had. Like, he was signed because of an injury. So if he's just sitting at home, I'd imagine if he's gone to Wickham that quickly, then he'd. You know, you never know, especially with like location playing a big factor as well.
I think he's a London boy. I think he's a London boy and sort of wanted to stay down there. He's obviously, he's been earning a fortune at the clubs that he's previously been at. So I think he's been training down that way. I can't remember who the club was at, but I know he was down there training somewhere. I think he was basically just waiting for a club around that area, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's again that location thing, isn't it?
It is. It's horrible, really. Because I don't think, until you move to Carlisle, like, you come and visit, you don't. It's hard to judge, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I always remember about that Dutch interviewer and Jared Bronthwaite.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What did they call it? The bloody end of the world, he said.
He's like, oh, it's the end of the world. How did you end up there? And he's like, from there.
Oh, you've got to love it. Is that everything for the League One roundup?
Pretty much. I mean, there's been two games. Blackpool thrashed Shrewsbury, which is probably a result that we'd want as Carlisle fans. Shrewsbury, one of those teams in and around us. So, Stevenage beat Lincoln. Lincoln have been on a bit of poor form, and obviously got a new manager now. So, I wouldn't say they're one of those teams that we want to lose, but... Rather than Stevenage. So, you know, the results, as much as it is, have probably gone good for Carlisle.
Yeah.
I've just realised Blackpool Shrewsbury is a bit of a Jamie Devitt derby, isn't it? You know, that's...
Did you get on the pitch for Blackpool?
Play a game.
Yeah. It's time.
Don't go there.
No, no, we're not doing that. It's not part two. No, part, I can't remember. Anyway, you can go back.
Yeah,
and
I was going
to
say,
it
could have been any part of that.
You can go back and listen to that nightmare. It's about, like, I don't know, about 12 episodes ago, if you want to go and listen to that. But lads, thanks very much for handling your segment, because it's always good to find out what's been happening here. What's been happening there in the League One Roundup with Liam and Wills. Well done, lads. Thanks very much for handling that. Now we're going to hand over to the very capable Max and his segment. But first, as I always do, I have to apologise because it's the one time I just couldn't think of a rhyme. It's Max's £1 million idea. Go ahead, Max.
Thanks very much. And also apology accepted. We had a pretty decent response from the post I put out earlier today. So, well, I had a bit of an unhelpful one. Kieran just commented saying waterworks change. So, make of that what you will. Use your imagination. I don't know what he meant by
that. Waterworks.
But then, so we've got Ghostly Josh 3. So he said, rebuild the waterworks and make it the away end. Also, get rid of the section of the Pioneer that's hanging off the pitch and build more seats on the section near the Warwick that doesn't.
Yeah, because just cut that bit of the East Stand.
Yeah, because it's like quite underlined, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what I mean, to be honest, I've never lost sleep over it, to be fair. So I don't know if it'd be worth the hassle.
It tends to be something that away fans always point out because they're the ones that have to sit in it.
Yeah, the ones that get the crap out of you, yeah.
It that's does look really weird when you look at it from like a bird's eye view.
I'm kind of used
like
to it,
one stand's just like off-centre.
I think when they photograph it, they kind of like try and get that angle, don't they?
Have you ever seen like the full drawing of what Michael Knighton was going to have it like the, you know, that the East Stand was the first part of...
Looks
it looks ridiculous.
I don't think it's a bad idea, though. I don't think it's a bad idea. No, like, no, it will look better. And like you said, if you combine those two ideas and you move the away fans into the waterworks end, and then just sort of like just improve the East Stand at that end by, I don't know, maybe putting in some better food facilities or a fan zone or something. Because that fan zone they've got around the other side's been doing great trade. So there's no reason why a fan zone around the East Stand wouldn't do a great trade in the summer as well if people can stand outside and drink. I think that's a nice idea.
I'd be a bit sort of hesitant putting the away fans behind that goal though, because I think it's better us shooting like both halves towards our own fans, but yeah, maybe that's
and the problem with that is there's never any fans in it.
Well, yeah, that's another thing I would change. I'd open it more. Another comment I got was Paul YB23. He said, so obviously, I don't know if any of you go in the Warwick, but they've started like opening it up at half time. You can go into the new fan zone. And he's just basically commenting on the fact that you have to get your tickets scanned on your way in, on your way out, and your way back in, which just basically creates a massive queue. So right. By the time you actually leave the stand, it's like nearly kick off again. Sort of
it sounds like a hassle. Just more staff though, innit? Like that would be easy enough. Just put more people on the door or something.
You should just kind of combine the Warwick with the Paddock from a ticketing point of view, maybe, and just kind of have it so that, you know, you buy a standing ticket and you can kind of move around.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, they have no problem when it's raining just opening it up and saying, so, you know, you'd think they could just kind of say, you know, you've got a standing ticket and you've got access to like the facilities that are in the Paddock.
Mm. It's quite a new thing though, so obviously there's going to be teething problems with it. So, but I'm glad it happened anyway because it does improve the otherwise abysmal facilities in the Warwick. But yes, you Skelly, you'd commented we can't keep talking about the toilets in the Warwick.
Yeah,
and then Stephen Routledge 9 has kind of changed it a bit and put toilet in paddock. So there you go.
Well, what's wrong with the toilet in the paddock? Point. There's nothing wrong with the toilet in the paddock.
Steve and Routledge hate them, apparently. So well, you'll have to speak to him.
If you haven't seen the ones in the Warwick, they would look bad. Like, they're only good in comparison to other toilets there. Like, they're not great.
I'm going to say, he's obviously never been in the Warwick.
Like, from an ex-Carlisle United player's point of view.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Have you ever had to, like, you know, when you're doing the kit pick or something in the summer, have you ever had to, like, run off to the nearest toilet that was open and you had to, like, witness the facilities in the Warwick? Or are you guys very sheltered from this experience?
I can't say we've ever seen them, to be honest.
I mean, I should have let you go and have a look just for this.
Have you not heard? Have you not heard anything about how bad they are?
Yeah, we've heard a lot of, obviously, from fans. You hear a lot from the fans on Twitter and stuff about them, but I've never seen them, to be honest.
No.
Just a pipe in the floor.
It is not documented. You can't just Google it. There'll be pictures that come up, like, especially the cage. Like,
I think I'll leave that one.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely open for improvement.
Yeah, that's it from my section this week. So thanks to everyone who commented.
Yeah, but basically, why don't we're going to hand over and I'm going to ask Jamie the same question. As an ex-Carlisle United player, if somebody gave you £1 million to improve the facilities at Carlisle United, what would you put that £1 million towards straight away? What would be the first thing you'd want to do? Because obviously you've got a different point of view. It might be the players' lounge,
training facilities. Training. Yeah, it'd be somewhere where we can actually have a base for training. I think Simo's the same, to be fair. Yeah. I think that's his biggest one. It's just somewhere where you can sort of... I've always said sort of... Don't get me wrong, we're a bit... It's probably a shitty one, really, but... You like going to Brunton Park on a Saturday, should be going to your home stadium. You shouldn't be having to go there Monday to Friday and train.
Okay.
That should be... For me, that should be where... That's the end. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
That's what you aim at. That's the goal at the end of the week, is to be in the stadium and play in the stadium. It kind of ruins the bigger cage of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like that's your football day, basically. That's what you've worked all week for. And we had that in Morecambe as well a lot, where you're going to the ground to get changed, and then the training ground, you'd leave from the ground. And it's just trying to mix it up where you go, your ground is where it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday is where it all happens for you, basically. And it gets you that excited and stuff like that. So it'd be the training ground, 1,000,000%.
It's like, as a player, when you're, you know, weighing up offers that you maybe got from various clubs, how big a factor is the sort of training facilities that those clubs have?
I think... it's massive now. And I think even the gaffer at Carlisle will say the same. It's massive. If you can show someone around your training ground, basically, that has a canteen that you can have some food together and your gym, all stuff like that, and then you get in a car and take them 10 minutes down the road to your match day experience at the stadium, and not say, sort of, we come here every day, we train. We train here basically every day. I think it makes a massive difference, because clubs in that league now is, Jesus, massive now. Some of the facilities are crazy. And I don't think Carlisle need all that craziness. They just want a base, basically, where they can call theirs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I guess like fans maybe forget that for the players, the training ground, that's your day job, that's where you are most of the time. And
it's just that it's hard to say because it's obviously not a massive thing, but it can make a massive difference. I think that on a Saturday, you're walking into your dressing room. It's your dressing room. Yeah. And it's not like, oh, I was only here yesterday. It's like that big thing for your actual match. But I think a training ground's massive because it's where you get all your work done, isn't it?
Yeah, massive. Well, I mean, it's going to be a massive thing when the takeover kind of comes through.
I think if you'd ask him on now, one thing that he'd want, I think that would be the biggest.
Yeah, I think the
biggest thing.
I think the Piatak's have mentioned it themselves, haven't they? So
yeah, like, that is
probably going to be first thing on their shopping list anyway.
So. I reckon so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's exciting times. It's exciting times, right? Thank you very much, Max, and thank you very much, Jamie, because, I mean, I do need to apologise, first of all, because it's the one time of the show I just couldn't think of a rhyme. It's Max's Million Pound Idea, featuring Jamie Devitt this week, eh? decent. Right, I'm going to move on to some of the Carlisle United-related news that has been coming out in, like, the sort of News and Star and the Carlisle United media sources this week, and I'm going to kick things off with the fact that Carlisle United's record-breaking home and away shirts for this season will be available once more via the Blues store. And you've been also finally encouraged to be able to pre-order shirts, which seems like a fantastic idea around 6 months ago. But it's great that they've managed to bring it in now. And obviously that means before the end of the season, I believe they'll be able to sustain and fulfill every single Carlisle United fan want for one of those shirts. It's crazy numbers and it's fantastic. It's going to be crazy to see what they try and do next year, if they're going to try and make something crazier than the fruit salad shirt. Now, Jamie, we've spoken about the fruit salad shirt. Have you came around to it yet?
No.
No.
I just can't get fruit salad out of my head, to be honest.
Well, I mean, it'll be crazy to see what they can potentially top it with next year. But we'll move away from that one. And we're going to talk about the fact that manager Paul Simpson has came out and spoken and distanced himself away from the free agent transfer possibility of former Carlisle United youth team player and twice player for Carlisle United. No, I'm not talking about Jamie Devitt, even though you did also play for Carlisle United twice. I'm talking about Gary Medine. But we're all the same age, me, Jamie, and Gary. We're all the same age. They distanced himself from Gary Medine. Basically, I think some fans at Carlisle United were getting very excited by the fact that Gary was going to be potentially coming in, and Paul Simpson just wanted to sort of like calm everyone down and just make it realistic. And the fact that Gary Medine's injured currently, he won't be fit until the end of January, and he won't be fully fit, or at least raring to go for a relegation battle, in Paul Simpson's opinion, until March. So he needs players to recruit in that are going to make an instant impact. Jamie, you must have had a couple of run-ins with Gary Medine. How does he make an impression?
I love Gaz.
Yeah.
I was with him at Blackpool and he was brilliant. Yeah. He was brilliant. He looked after us. He was obviously, you hear what's happened in the past with him, and he's obviously done some not great things, like, but the only dealings I've ever had with him was positive, and he was a really nice person to me. So I can only say nice things about him, and he's a top player as well.
Well, that's it. I mean, even with those things said and the fact that he won't be coming in until March, in your opinion, do you think that it would still be worth bringing somebody of his quality into the club at that time?
Well, I think it'd be one of them where he comes in and, well, it's obviously down to the gaffer and down to the Gary himself. If he came in to even just to train and see where he's at, basically, and listen, Gary can definitely do a job in League One. I think everyone knows that his strengths are amazing. So I think anyone would benefit from someone like Gary Medine, a fit Gary Medine, yeah.
Yeah, I think like having an experienced target man would do you really good in a relegation battle. But obviously, we all now know officially we're going to have to be waiting a long time, even if he does sign with Carlisle United, to be fully match fit. Somebody else in that same bracket is Matty Longstaff, another player that Carlisle United fans have been getting quite excited about the prospect of signing. Unfortunately, that's been ruled out in the near future due to a similar injury that's going to keep him out until January. But Paul Simpson has came out and said that he is a fan of the player, and the prospect of him signing isn't completely out of the window at this time. And finally, when it comes to transfer related news, unfortunately Jokel Andersen has suffered a dislocated shoulder, and it might see the termination of his loan move here at Carlisle United. And that means that Carlisle United will have to dive once more into the transfer market to find cover. And Paul Simpson has basically just came out and said that's his plan and that's what he'll be doing. Someone like Gabriel Breeze, to be given the opportunity to step in at a number two like this, even though it is sporadic, I think he's going to get some fantastic experience from it, and he's going to learn and grow from the experiences that he's going to be able to have now. And hopefully we'll see him maybe be able to make that step up in the near future as well. So that's the transfer news as far as Carlisle United is concerned. But back of house, in the staffing area, there's been a bit of a reshuffle recently. First of all, we'll kick things off with Colin the Kitman, who announced his retirement recently. And so he'll be retiring towards the end of the season, and a successor is in the offing. And also, Andy Hall, the head of media, has decided to step down with immediate effect, and the search for his replacement has already started. Now, guys, I know what you're thinking. Yes, I've applied for both the jobs, all right? I've applied for both. Of course I have. Why wouldn't I? I've applied for both the jobs. I'll keep you all up to date with how that is going. But first of all, Jamie, how important is it to get that backroom staff balance right?
1,000,000%. I think they're going to be massive, massive losses to the club. They're like part of the club. They've been there so many years. They're just them friendly faces you see around the club, and it'll be a massive, massive loss. Yeah, it's sad to see, really.
Now, the first time that you asked Colin to put a hole in your long sleeve shirt, I mean, like, what was his sort of reaction to that? Was he used to it, or was that the kind of first time he was doing it?
I don't think I had a hole in mine. Did I?
Oh, were you just like undershirts?
I think that's your under ones, yeah. Not
that was just your undershirt, right? Okay. Because I thought stopped, you were like
They stopped doing long sleeve.
Ah.
So man. I think my last long sleeve was when I was at Morecambe. They don't do them anymore.
Yeah, no. A lot of clubs don't seem to. It's just because, you know, you just got the undershirt, haven't you?
You get your Under Armour now, yeah. So a lot of times you sort of get one each, basically, and you can stick your hole. If some people stick their thumbs to, I think, for the hole.
Yeah. What's the hole for?
I think
it?
Just to go stairs
and a thumb hole.
Yeah. Basically,
it's almost like a wrist restraint almost. It almost like, I don't know.
Are you holes in your socks, Jamie? Are you one of these? holes in your socks?
Not in the back of them, no, Jesus. I don't know what that's for.
I can't remember myself. I saw a thing saying this is what it was for, and I can't remember. There's a reason.
I think it's for cramps or something in the calf. But I don't have big enough calf, so.
that attempt to get a story about Colin the Kitman went down like a bit of a lead balloon, unfortunately. But do you have any sort of like fond memories of Colin, and maybe sort of
Loads.
Like a, yeah, Loads. Have you got a decent story for us?
No, there's not really. It's hard to, as you know, it's
nothing that can go public.
Yeah, mainly, yeah. But no, it's Cole's, honestly, it's the first face you see when you come through as a new signing is Cole, because he's the kit man that gives you your kit, basically. I haven't got one bad word to say about him, honestly. He'll be a club legend, won't he, for what he's done at Carlisle, and I'm sure he'll always be welcome back at Carlisle for anytime he wants to pop in for a coffee or a game, anything, basically. He's probably going to be still there for every game, I'd imagine.
I think so. I think he'll still be around doing bits.
He's brilliant, Cole. He's brilliant. Yeah. You'll know yourself, obviously, but he's so funny. His little his little dance moves after a win in the dressing room. Stuff like that. Yeah.
I mean, the club have like changed their advert now, haven't they? I think it was just today that they're now just looking for a kit assistant. So
yeah,
I've seen that. Yeah, I haven't been up to the club in a couple of months now. So
yeah, I presume somebody they've already got doing some other job, but yeah.
Yeah,
I honestly couldn't. Yeah.
I mean, I got an email because, like I said, I applied for the kit manager job. So I got an email. Yeah. I didn't get the kit manager's job, but I could apply, and they sent me like the application for the assistant kit manager's job, basically.
Which you've applied for.
So, which I've also applied for. Yeah. Keep your options open. You know, like, no. You know, for Jamie, it's being a footballer and a scout and you know, a coach.
Bit of everything.
And for me, it's being a kit man and a chef. And
you can do it once there, can't you?
That's it. I could do a bit of everything. It'd be grand. Bit of media, bit of chefing, bit of kit man. Yeah. It'd be fine. Well, I'm sure I'd fill out my day.
All started out as a kit man.
Well, that's it, yeah. Andy Hall, he did. Yeah, that's very true.
Speaking about the kit, sorry, have you ever swapped shirts with, like, anyone, like, any, like, big player before? Are you allowed to swap shirts?
I have a few shirts upstairs, but not many I'd swap with, just more I'd ask for.
Oh, yeah.
Basically. probably the biggest one would be Robbie Keane that I've got upstairs.
Oh, nice.
Just with being Irish and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I was just trying to remember, like, when we played Liverpool away in the Cup, I can't remember if you were playing in that.
I came the year after. I missed all that.
Right, like...
I missed that
we
one,
had,
yeah.
Like, a
we
Coutinho
played
upstairs. All right, yeah.
We played Derby, yeah.
Right.
that was 16 on penalties.
The penalty shootout one, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you take two penalties in that one then?
Yeah, because I went first, yeah. We took two that night, yeah.
That must have felt like it took ages.
Oh, mate, just, honestly, it was so long. So it must have been, the penalties must have went on for about 25, 30 minutes after that. It was crazy.
Exhausting. Second to lastly in Carlisle United related news, this week is going to go down in history as the week that Castle Sports England will be taking over the club. Now, lads,
don't
already...
say that. Jesus,
no, you're just jinxing it all.
Well, you know, Paul Simpson shouldn't be saying stuff at the Christmas light switch on if he's not good.
Yeah.
You know, he can't
I guess
be banging.
It's not done until it's done, I suppose. I mean, yeah, I mean, the News and Star are kind of saying it as well. You know,
if they're banking it, I'm banking it. You know me, I don't go out on a limb. You know, I'm not going out on a limb. So basically, there's huge news here. It's going to be, it's already been touted to be a huge weekend for Carlisle United fans. So I imagine the game against Charlton is going to have a massive attendance for anybody that doesn't want to miss such a momentous occasion. And lastly, in Carlisle related news, is a man that myself and Jamie spoke about last time he was here on the Blue Army podcast. I'm talking about Jordan Gibson, who has won the PFA Player of the Month award today for the month of October for his fantastic performances and outstanding goal tally. Jamie, you said when he gets that first goal,
yeah,
he's going to be up and running. Yeah, you did.
I told you. Honestly, mate, he's one of the... He has everything. And sometimes you look at him and he's like... You think he's strolling around and stuff like that. His quality is unbelievable. Honestly, some of the goals he scores in training are scary. His feet is everything. And I'm so glad that everything, this year seems to be the year that everything's working out. He's had a baby. He's just settled. I think sometimes it happens. I've said it to you before. You just sort of, comes a time where you just grow up basically and everything starts clicking into place and you can start enjoying your football and not everything else in the background, basically. And I'm just glad it proved me right, really.
Yeah.
I think we're going to need it this season as well.
I told you I can spot some talent.
Yeah, you did that one well. Yeah, you did that one well, mate. You did that one well. And obviously, congratulations to Jordan Gibson for that award. Hopefully, many more to come in the very near future. Right, next up, gentlemen, is your chance to win the award in our game with the longest name. That's right, gentlemen. I'm talking about the Blue Army Podcast. Carlisle United higher or lower game that also includes one equal now, which is related to their stats overall on a certain year of FIFA, and this time it's FIFA 14.
Ooh.
That's right.
It's a tough year, FIFA 14.
It's the game with the longest name, but basically what it is, I'll explain it to Jamie and any new listeners, what it is a game of higher or lower. You know, like that classic card game on the Saturday night, but it's related to overall stats within a certain year of FIFA, and this time it's FIFA 14. So where the lads left it last time, we were on Paul Furwell. Okay, and it's going to be higher or lower than Paul Furwell. We're going to be moving on to Nacho Novo. Now, to decide who gets to go first this week, we're just going to be nice. We're going to let Jamie go first this week because he's the guest, all right? And then I'm going to go in order of the screen in front of me. So it's going to be Jamie, Wills, Max, and Liam. You've got 8 players left to get through this squad and complete the squad within 3 episodes, and that's with Jamie's assistance. So when there's one person left, everybody's out. So hopefully, everybody, if you get it right twice, you're going to win it in this episode, basically. So, Jamie, we're going to go
from... I could be in trouble there.
We're going to go from Paul Furwell, who was 61 overall rated on FIFA 14, and the next player on the list was former Rangers striker.
Yeah, he has to be higher, doesn't
Novo.
He?
Are you going to say
I'm thinking back 9 years ago, he would have been in his probably peak. Well, he's at Rangers, so I'm,
he didn't show it at Carlisle.
Yeah.
That's my strategy always for the players who've been at bigger level.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's about 71, 72.
Oh, he's going high. But he is right. It is higher. Nacho Novo is higher.
He won't tell us what his number is, though.
No, so you're in the game. No, I don't tell you what the number is from now on in, basically.
All right.
So you don't get the number from now on in. So we're going to move over to Will. Higher or lower than Nacho Novo, we've got Danny Livesey.
For similar reasons, I'm going to say lower. Danny Livesey never played as high as Rangers. And, you know, the FIFA... the guys who put that together, you know, they do love a player who's played in Europe, so lower, yeah.
That's true. And you'd be right, mate, you'd be right. Danny Livesey is lower than Nacho Novo, so we're going to move on to Max now. And Danny Livesey, was he higher or lower than Mark Gillespie?
It's a tough one. Mark was the first choice keeper, wasn't he, I think, back then. But Livesey, I kind of remember him being decently rated, so I'm going to say Mark Gillespie's lower.
And you'd be correct, mate. Well done. Well done. And you're on your way through. The lads are all doing really well. So the next one on the list is Mike Edwards. That's for Liam.
Is it bad that I've never heard of Mike Edwards? FIFA stats are always from the season prior, aren't they? So, and I think the season before that, Mark Gillespie was like, he wasn't first choice. So I'm going to say higher.
You're going to say higher? And you'd be correct, mate. Well done. You're still in the game. We're doing really well. We're
going
to throw things back.
This is going surprisingly well.
To Jamie,
so far.
That's right. You've only got 3 more names left here. So Jamie, higher or lower than Mike Edwards? We're talking about Lee Miller.
I'll say higher.
Gonna say higher, and you'd be correct. Well done, well done, and you've survived this game pretty much. We're gonna move over to Wills. Higher or lower than Lee Miller, Daniel Redman?
Oh, I think definitely lower. He was just a lad we had on loan from Liverpool, I think. Yeah, lower.
And you'd be correct, mate. Well done. So to get a full house and to end strongly. Courtney Meppen-Walter.
I only played against him last week.
Did you?
Really?
Yeah.
There's no wasting around.
Can he get Charlie or something? Yeah.
Charlie.
No, Geisley.
Geisley.
I used to, I thought he was a good player when he was at Carlisle, to be fair.
He's got a really good left foot,
Yeah, but on FIFA, I don't think he was very highly rated at all, really. But from what Will said, I'm a bit nervous by saying, like, I said lower, so I'll say higher.
Gonna say higher. for Courtney Meppen-Walter, who currently plays for Gardsley. You'd be wrong, I'm afraid, mate. Yeah, you've been wiped out, unfortunately. You've got to the end of it.
What a nightmare.
But you've ended, you know, you fell at the last hurdle, but you've managed to stumble over the finishing line, lads. Thanks very much for playing the game with the longest name. That's right, we've just played the Blue Army podcast, Carlisle United, higher or lower game, that also includes one equal now, which is related to their overall stats on a certain year of FIFA. And this time, it was FIFA 14. We'll have a new one for you next week. I feel like Journey got a great assist in there. You know, two goals and an assist with the Courtney Weapon thing, potentially.
I could have killed them with that one, actually.
But, lads, we're going to move on, and we're getting really close to the end of the show. And this is normally the time of the show where we would do our predictions and look forward to next week. So that's pretty much what we're going to do. But luckily enough, Mr. Liam has managed to do us a bit of research. So before we make our uneducated opinions public, we're going to let Liam inform us a little bit more about Charlton's form so far this season.
Yep, Charlton, famously the most unpredictable team this season, which probably won't serve us well. But one thing I thought was interesting is they've only won one away game this season. They're 11th in the table at the minute, and the other week they did draw in the FA Cup to Cray Valley Paper Mills 1-1, which, you know, you'd imagine as kind of poor as we've been this season, you'd imagine we're probably slightly better than Cray Valley. They did go on to batter them 6-1 in the return leg, but you know, it's that away thing again. This season they can't seem to cope going away from home, and they showed that even in the FA Cup against Cray Valley. They've got a really poor defence. They're 18th in the table for sort of goals conceded. They've conceded 23 goals, and you know, you compare that to us, we've only conceded 20, and you'd argue that, you know, us being in the relegation zone, it's not a kind of a defensive record you'd want to try and replicate. And we have actually got a better one than Charlton. They're 7th in average possession stats, with an average possession of 53.5%. And they're 3rd in the league on shots on target per match, with an average of 5.2. Like I said, very unpredictable. And you can see that in their last five games when you look at their form. They drew their last game. Before that, they won. Then they lost. Then they lost. Then they won. You know, they're very much an up-and-down team, Charlton. And much like us this season, they're kind of... They can't keep it consistent. It's one week they're dreadful, the next they're great. And, you know, for an ex-Premier League team, we'd expect kind of better than that. But, you know, we're going to go on to talk about our predictions now. And I think this is probably the worst team to predict with, because they are basic mid-table. Some weeks great, some weeks awful. They're the most unpredictable team in the league, but poor away from home, and maybe that could serve us well. Yeah.
Okay. For me, then I'll dive in. With the knowledge now of that poor away form, and the fact that we're going to have a bit of a bumper crowd with a bit more electric and a bit more excitement around because of this historic moment that's supposed to be happening, I'd like to think that we're going to win this one quite comfortably in the end. And I'm going to go with a clean sheet and a nice 2-0. Jamie, what do you think, mate?
I think gold. The only thing, Garns is going to be a big loss, isn't he?
Yeah.
We miss Joey Garner. Yeah. But I think I'm going to go with the Bolton score. Same as the Bolton.
I'd love
big
that.
Crowd, yeah. That Carlo brought to Bolton sort of gave them a massive boost, didn't it? And I think it'll be the same this week with all the excitement, really. And I think I'm going to say 3-1, Carlo.
I like that. Max?
I'm going to go 2-1 win for Carlisle. Maybe a nice last-minute winner.
Wouldn't be like Carlisle to not do it the easy way. Like Liam?
I think we'll have to agree 2-1. Don't think we'll make it easy, because we never do. But yeah, I think that poor away form. And I think the positivity with like the takeover, you'd hope to be announced. I think that'll give them the lift they need.
Yeah. And Will?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of like stick with the positivity and go 3-0. Like Liam says, they're very unpredictable, and that's just the sort of team that you kind of hope they don't turn up, because I'm sure they can be good on their day, but I touch wood and hopefully it's not their day and it's our day.
Hopefully there's loads of traffic on the M6 and it takes them 12 hours to get up.
Yeah, and you know, the players see the takeover and the players see the takeover and think, I better put in a really good performance. Or
you can just lift everybody, can't you?
Yeah. Big crowds as well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think like this extra sort of like week off, like not week off, but match off is going to give the sort of team to be able to gel and make an extra strong game plan for this Charlton match. And obviously the fact that like McGeoch just came back from injury and Gibson's on a great run of form, I think we're going to see potentially a little bit of a formation change. We're going to see the best out of them too, definitely, because, you know, we're going to have to play into our strengths while we've got them because of those injuries, like you've already mentioned. And I'd like to think that those are our strengths at the moment. Is definitely Gibson and McGeoch coming back as sort of like an unknown entity in the midfield, and sort of teams don't know how to deal with him or what kind of football he's gonna be producing for us.
Well, he played in this league last season, so
yeah, but not for us. Not on the Simo. Simo could do anything with a player. Look what he did to Mellish up front, defence, midfield, left wing, left back, right back. You know, same with Gibson now. Gibson's done right back, left back. He does everywhere, doesn't he? Gives you the belief you can play anywhere. Right, lads, it's time to wrap things up. But before we wrap things up, it's time for everybody's favourite game.
Guessing the player.
That's right, you can't hear the music, but I can.
Guessing the player.
Come on, guys. That's right, it's time for Guessing the player. It's player. Special. Guest edition that we're going to be playing this time. You know how like MMA, UFC events like to do these big special one-off events. Well, this time we're doing the Blue Army Podcast's first ever tag team Guessing the Player. That's right. We're going to have our number one and two seeds be the captain on this episode. So, Liam, you're number one seed as your top of the Guessing the Player table. Max, you are number two seed, and you'll be able to basically pick. Liam, you're going to be able to pick your team first. So, who do you want? Do you want Jamie or Wills?
I think I'll take Wills just for the age advantage. Yeah.
I was going to say.
He likes the scope of knowledge. That's his problem. He likes the scope of knowledge. It's tactical. It's controversial. Yeah. Max, you with the pro? You're going to be good, mate. You know, you've got nothing to really fear here. It is a friendly at the end of the day. But for the newer listeners and obviously for Jamie, I'll explain to you what we're about to do. It's Guessing the Player. Basically, I've came up with a player and there are three clues leading towards that, basically. So, you've got three attempts to guess it. Unfortunately, Liam, I thought you were going to pick Jamie first. So I was going to let you go first because you're number one seed. But it's only polite that the guest gets to go first, which means that Max and Jamie will be going first now this week. And to add a little bit of extra spice to this version of Guessing the Player, I'm going to allow you to pick one, two, or three, and I'll give you that clue, and therefore debunking the fact that the last clue is the easiest clue. Or will it? We'll see. But yeah, I'll hand over. It's going to be Max and Jamie. It's only an exhibition, lads, you know. But it's still top of the table rivalries. It still means a lot. There's still a lot to play for. So
I don't like losing either.
Yeah. Jamie doesn't like losing, and neither do I, so
yeah,
let's go.
Well, that's it. We normally do a bit of a press conference before Guessing the Player, and I was going to ask you how you're feeling, going into the first ever tag team Guessing the Player. Max and Jamie, you know, you've got Jamie making his debut, but he's got the experience of a professional footballer under his belt, so you must be feeling confident.
Yeah, extremely so. I'm very confident, yeah.
No pressure then, yeah.
No pressure. And obviously, Liam, Will, you've got all the experience of Guessing the Player under your belt. Last season, you two played a full season of Guessing the Player, so you're used to this game. What kind of confidence does that give you in this one?
team captain.
Yeah, exactly. I think we'll absolutely smash them, to be honest. You know, we go.
Well, I feel like we've made it nice and juicy now. Jamie's definitely interested in winning this one. So we're going to get on with things and we're going to play guessing the player. Yeah, Jamie and Max, would you like 1, 2, or 3?
Go on, Mac.
All right. 2.
They're going to go with number 2. Okay. This player joined Morecambe after leaving Carlisle United. Who do you think it might be?
Is it up to date or is it any years?
I normally try and keep it within like a 10-year radius. Like, do you know what I mean? From now, like backwards 10 years. I try not to go too far back. Unlike some other people.
Unlike some.
Yeah. We had a bit of a debate like, a couple of weeks ago when Liam decided to go with Alan Ross, a goalkeeper from the 70s.
Let me try, I think. what are you thinking, Jeremy? Have you got anyone in your head?
Only someone that's left this year, really.
Go for it.
Joel.
Oh.
Joel Senior.
It's not Joel Senior, I'm afraid. It's a good guess, though. It's a very good guess. Liam and Will, you've got the same clue. Who are you going to guess?
Well, I think
that's who I was going to go with, to be honest. I was going to go with Senior.
I mean, my mind's gone blank. Obviously, quite a lot of players do leave us and go.
Don't guess it.
Did going with another right back? Did Kelvin Miller go to Morecambe?
Oh, he did.
You haven't got a paper face, you, Jamie.
Should we go with Kelvin Miller?
I think we'll go with Kelvin.
Yeah.
Miller.
You're gonna go with Kelvin Miller?
Yeah.
You'd be wrong, I'm afraid, lads. You'd be wrong. So, Jamie and Max, you're back in the game. You get to pick your number clue. You've got number 1 or number 3.
Yeah,
go on, Max.
You can pick
that.
I'll have another one. Number 1, then.
Number 1. Just like Jamie Devitt, this player played for both Barrow and Carlisle.
Oh, I think I know who it is.
Go on.
Is it Patrick Brough?
You're saying Patrick Brough?
That's the one.
Is it? Go on.
And it is the one. It is. Just guess the
there it is.
I didn't know what. I didn't want to find out what was going to happen if you guys didn't win that game.
Even worse. I ranked Jim up this time, Bruffy, after he left Carlisle. That's what. It annoyed me that I didn't get it.
Yeah, but you've got it in the end, though, lad.
I'd have been raging if we didn't win that.
Yeah. It's just the Barrow thing. That's what got it for me.
Well, in hindsight, as well, Kelvin Miller came from Morecambe. He didn't go to Morecambe, so.
Where did he go afterwards? Was he? I can't remember.
Crew.
That was it. Crew. That was it. He was decent, though. I thought he was a decent player. It's just
Kelvin
was
good, honest player. Yeah. He's still playing for Aki now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I rated him. Like, I really did. I rated him. What else I've really rated is your performance in guessing the player, Max and Jamie. Well done. You've managed to win it. There's no points to play for, but you've definitely won all the pride, and it's right at the end of the episode as well. So we're going to be signing off on a high note for the two of you personally. Now, lads, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you all here. It always is. The Cumbrian Brain Trust. Jamie Devitt, the adopted member of the Cumbrian Brain Trust now, having done 4 episodes. More than anyone else outside of this circle has done. So obviously we have to say thank you to Jamie for giving us his time today. Thank you very much, Jamie.
No, anytime, mate. Anytime, honestly.
It is always, always an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much to the Cumbrian Brain Trust, Wills, Max and Liam. And there isn't really anything else left for us to do apart from saying bye for now.
Cheers, boys. Thank you.
Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.